Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to the Local Food Connection Show, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country, pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is grown. My name is Anne Stanley, and today my guest is Julie Bennett. Julie is from Montalto Kitchen Gardens and has also set up an enterprise called Seeds Are Free, which is what we're going to talk about today. Julie's a food gardener who grows heirloom vegetables, herbs and edible flowers for chefs on the Mornington Peninsula. And we're here to talk about heirloom seeds because these are important for preserving plant biodiversity and maintaining traditional vegetable and herb varieties. And most importantly, and we'll touch on this later, reducing reliance on commercial seed companies. So welcome, Julie. Looking forward to this conversation.
How are you, Anne? Nice to chat with you.
tell me about your work.
Yeah, sure. So I am a organic produce grower. I work and farm on Bunurong, Bunurong land on the Mornington Peninsula. And one of my great loves is heirloom seeds. So we've lost so much of our heirloom seed varieties in the past even 50 years. So if we don't grow these varieties and share the stories of these and pass them on, we're going to lose them.
Mm-hmm. So, and why does that matter?
Oh, look, I think that these are varieties that were first and foremost grown for taste. You know, they were grown by people in backyards and they were plucked that day for, you know, eating within a few hours. They may not have uniformity. They may not travel well. They may not have good shelf stability, but they tasted amazing, and we're losing these.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to the people from Transition Farm on the show a few months ago, and we were talking about the connection between taste and nutrition, and it's quite likely that we've evolved to enjoy the food that's tastier, possibly because it's more nutritious than natural food.
Definitely.
So, Julie, tell us about what makes a seed an heirloom seed as opposed to a hybrid commercially produced seed.
Yeah, sure. So for a hybrid, an heirloom variety can be a seed that's been saved for, from, 50 to 100 years to over 500 years. I have a bean variety that I grow that dates back to the 1500s, and that's a painted lady bean. And that's one that was named after Queen Elizabeth I, who was said to be made up with rouge and white chalk. So the flowers are a beautiful salmon pink and white. So the stories with these are beautiful. And they're ones that, they have the ability to be a little bit more resistant usually to pests naturally. Their flavour is fantastic. You know, you can get tomatoes that have a range of flavour profiles and a range of colours. You know, you go to a supermarket and they're red and they've usually been gassed and they just taste floury.
Yeah. And how many varieties of tomatoes do you deal with?
This year I tried to rein it in a little bit and I have 44 varieties. I don't have one specific favorite. They're kind of like maybe your favorite child, but I just, I love the different range of them. So I can't rein it in. I try every year, but 44 varieties this year.
That's amazing. And the chefs must appreciate those for the flavor.
Yeah, they do. And I think that, I'm very lucky that because I farm on the property, the chefs will put in a request for that morning's harvest and it gets eaten that day. So the beauty of having the farm on the property is that the produce doesn't sit in a fridge. It's harvested for that day's service. So it's nutritionally dense. It's still alive. Salad mix, I have over 20 varieties of lettuce in my salad mix.
And so
So,
there's no need to breed it for it to have tough skins or to be a little bit squarer than rounder, so you can pack more into the box and put it in the truck because it's just
definitely
not
not.
traveling that far.
And we celebrate that. We celebrate that not every tomato on that plant is going to be the same size. You get diversity. In nature, nothing is uniform. So, we
Can
need
you
to celebrate
give us backyard people some tips on how to save tomato seeds?
Yeah, sure. So, one of the key things that I always say is save the best and eat the rest. So, you want to save the best fruit because it's going to have that genetic memory of that, beautiful, luscious tomato. So if you've got a beautiful, luscious tomato, save those seeds. And one of the things to do is just, if you can, I mean, if you only find one big, luscious tomato, save those seeds. But if you have a couple, save those seeds from those different ones as well. So you're going to get that little bit of diversity with the genetics as well. But people have been saving tomato seeds forever. And one of the things that I love too is with the names of a lot of these varieties, a lot of these heirlooms, they were given exotic names. I grow a tomato called a Japanese black trifel. It doesn't come from Japan. It originates in Russia. But it sounds exotic. I grow a sweet corn called Country Gentleman, which was named after an old English magazine because it sounded quite regal. And it's an old shoe peg variety, so it doesn't have the traditional pattern of, row corn. It's shoe peg. It's all sort of higgledy piggledy, but a really lovely corn that, dates back to the 1800s.
And I've got some peas growing. Diggers sell them, I think, but they're called Frank's peas.
Great.
So someone called Frank shared the seeds with someone, and now they're getting sold commercially.
Isn't
So,
that great? That's the story in itself. It doesn't always. One of the things with Seeds Are Free was people would send me seeds in return, and it'd be a story of, my granddad grew this tomato. It's just called Granddad's Tomato, but it has a great flavour, and we find that it's really good for saucing. And so that tomato now has been added to my collection, and it's just called Granddad's Tomato. But that's become its own heirloom in itself. So it's one of those beautiful stories that we need to be able to save these seeds and be the story holder as well, and share the stories, because that's how food should be.
And I'm thinking how much we've lost, and how much the indigenous cultures still have, because their relationship with the land is totally tied up with stories.
Definitely.
And I think ours once was too, when we had things in nursery rhymes about, powder cake, baker's man, and pretty things growing all in a row. I've forgotten them all now, but they were all part of our stories too, weren't they?
Definitely, definitely. A lot of these old history, I grow a dill variety called bouquet, which is quite a common dill. But it dates back to the Norse times where it was given to children in churches to keep them quiet. So they chew on the dill seed, which would keep them quiet. So the stories about, these dill seeds, It's really lovely. If you delve into it a bit deeper with a lot of these older varieties, there's great stories about them. It's one of those things that I love about offering these produce to our chefs is then I share the story with them and then they share the stories with the guests. So if you come to the restaurant, you're eating food that you can't buy anywhere else. These tomatoes don't exist in the local market, certainly never in a supermarket.
No.
They only exist in backyards with backyard growers and here on our plates.
And how many acres are you growing on there?
It varies depending on the seasons, but it can be up to 3 acres. It's dropped down to around about 1.5 acres at the moment. I've just culled it back a little bit just for the seasons.
Yeah.
I can ramp it up. So the whole property where I farm, it's 80 acres, but I've sort of taken little pockets of land as they come available.
Right. So they're growing grapes there too?
They are. There's about 80 acres under vine, but I have an acre of orchard with all the varieties. I have probably about a quarter of an acre of raspberries. I have a big polytunnel of strawberries, plus a market garden, plus polytunnels, plus I call it a potager garden that guests can sit around. So, yeah, it's quite diverse.
How many people does it take to keep that going?
Well, it's just me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And hence why it sort of does fluctuate. At the moment, I'm just, it's all systems go with spring.
Yeah.
As all gardeners would know, spring is the growth time. Not harvesting as much. I mean, I'm still harvesting a lot for the restaurant, but it's more the growth time. So a lot of stuff going in, a lot of stuff coming out with the changeover of seasons.
A lot of rain falling on it today. So.
Oh, which is brilliant. I'm loving this, yes.
We are recording this on Wednesday, people. I don't know what it's like when this goes to air on Sunday, but on Wednesday it was raining. Yeah. All right, now what else can I ask you? Please tell us the story of the pandemic and your Seeds Are Free initiative. Tell us that story.
Yeah, definitely. It was one of those things that, as a produce grower, we were just coming into a new season and a new seasonal menu. So I had a lot of produce in the ground ready to start coming out and being prepped and used for the menu. And then we shut down. Everything had to shut. So I pivoted really quickly from being, growing niche vegetables that had all these beautiful stories to supplying our local farm gate, which I'm very grateful that we had our local farm gate that would take a lot of this produce. And as a seed saver, I had a lot of seed saved, so a lot of older varieties. And I was actually walking with the dog and thought, gosh, I've got so much seed. And I knew that a lot of these seed companies were, especially in Australia, freezing. People were going nuts, buying seeds, panic buying, because everyone started to really get scared with our food system. We saw the break in, our food system, supermarkets emptying, toilet paper, being sold out. So people were buying these seeds, but everyone was sort of panic buying and then realizing, oh my God, I have no way, I don't know how to grow a seed, because I go to the big green shed to buy my seedlings. I've never grown anything from seed. So I thought I'm going to put out a post on a few of the local permaculture pages just saying I've had an idea. I want to share these heirloom seeds with everyone free of charge, because nature gives these seeds for free and is very generous. So I want to share with people seasonal specific seeds, so you can plant them in the ground straight away. You don't have to wait. And I will give you information on the history of these seeds, which is beautiful, the story. I will tell you how to grow them, so how to start them off, and then let your best plants go to seed and how to save those seeds, and then if you can share them with people. So like a Chinese whispers, I wanted it passed on. So seeds are free, pass it on, share them with everyone. And we'll see how far this can go. So I did put a few rules around it, that it could only be for Victoria and New South Wales, just because there is restrictions in other states, and I didn't want to send anything in to other states and that could have passed anything on. And also too, it did grow pretty big, and it became a bit of a beautiful job. But yes, it was quite big through the pandemic. So it was people would send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, which I actually had to explain to a few people what a stamped self-addressed envelope. it's a different era. And it was great for my two children, who were only young at the time, to see. There were so many lessons that they learned, I think, out of this, was giving something for nothing in return, because it feels good, and how to write a letter, and the pictures. So, I'd get children drawing me pictures of what they were going to plant, and parents. So because I was an anonymous person, and a lot of people were stuck in homes, and they couldn't go out, and they had small children that were just going crazy. Mm. So I'd get these beautiful letters that sometimes were really touching, dear anonymous seeds of free. I have a child who has special needs, and, this will hopefully get them out in the garden and connecting back to nature, and we can do this together. So it was such a beautiful time out of something that was, pretty crappy. I started by just getting a post office box. I didn't want them coming to the house. I only had a small letterbox. So, I'd sort of send one variety until they were gone. So I'd do, say, 150 packets of one variety, and then when they were gone, I'd announce on social media, mainly Instagram, what the next variety would be. And people could also send me messages about that variety, like, I've never heard of Bare Necessities Kale. Tell me the history of that. How did it get its name? What is it? Well, it's not actually a kale. So it was really lovely, and then people would send me photos of how it was growing, how they then shared the seeds with their neighbour. And, so it was a really lovely time. It's still going.
It's still going.
Still doing it. It's sort of had its little peaks and troughs. As the world opened up again, people started to, either mow over veggie gardens or which was a bit sad. Yeah. But it's they still have that knowledge, which is great. They've given it a go. And I think taking the fear out of, if something's given to you for free, if you fail at it, what does it matter? If you've bought a packet of seeds for $4 and it fails, you feel really disheartened, and you might not give it a go again.
Yeah, you feel annoyed at yourself.
You can lose hope. So here's something for free. If it fails, don't worry, send me another envelope. I've got more seeds, and here's something different.
So what sort of seeds are you sending out now? First of all, give us your PO box number in case somebody would like to do this.
Yeah, sure. So it's Seeds Are Free, Post Office Box 6 in Bitten, Bitten, Victoria 3918.
Okay.
And so you need to send a stamped self-addressed envelope. So
you can figure it out for yourself.
Well, you can, but it's also put your address on a return envelope inside the envelope to me.
With a stamp on it.
With a stamp on it, yes, please, because, postage is a little bit expensive. but that was one of the beautiful things, is I had people sending me books of stamps because they knew I was paying for this myself. I was lucky enough to receive a small grant. But it doesn't go far, and I still needed to print things and hire the post office box. But it was just such a beautiful thing, and I'm still getting letters. So I'm still getting, I had a pack of, it was a grade 3 and 4 from a local primary school. And each child did me a letter about what their favorite vegetable is. This is children that, my favourite is kohlrabi. Oh, I love these kids. You know what kohlrabi is.
Yeah, that's great.
So it was really beautiful. And so I was able to send bigger packets back to them because I really wanted their kitchen garden, you know, and I was so grateful. So yeah, it's really lovely.
And what would you send out now? Did you say that before or did I?
Yeah, so at the moment I'm still sending out bare necessities kale, which is.
Kale.
But I am sending out tomato seeds. It's not too late to plant tomato seeds. I'm still planting tomato seeds. You know, you really shouldn't be planting tomatoes just yet. In Melbourne, they say, well, the tradition is Melbourne Cup weekend, but as climate change is happening, I'm actually planting mine next week.
That's your seedlings.
That's seedlings.
Could I just put seeds straight in the soil now, or would it be better to put them in seed raising?
I'd probably start them off in a seed tray on a windowsill. Seed raising mix, there's a bit of a misnomer with seed raising mix. People buy it and plant their seeds into seed raising mix. It doesn't really have the so seeds will contain their own little nutrients packet, but once they get to cotyledon stage and beyond, which is their first little true leaves after their cotyledon leaves, they need more food than seed raising mix. So I plant into compost or worm castings or even just potting mix that actually has a little bit more oomph to it. And then I top dress over the seeds with seed raising mix, which just weights them down. So it's just a light medium. So the seed can actually germinate through that, but it's going to give them a little bit more food to benefit.
Okay, that's a good tip. Where can people find heirloom seeds to begin with?
Oh, gosh, there's a few of my favourite companies. So I source seeds from everywhere and people often send me and share seeds with me. But some of my favourite ones, definitely Transition Farm. They're a local seed company to me on the Mornington Peninsula. They're doing amazing heirloom varieties. But I also love Eden Seeds. They have a great catalogue. They have a really large range. Seeds of Plenty I use, Italian Gardener. So Franchi Cementi Seeds, he has a fantastic range of older heirloom Italian varietals. Seed Collection, Happy Valley Seeds. So there's so many great seed companies. I think that, you know, there's a lot of seed companies that are being bought up by chemical companies, especially in America. So four main chemical companies now control over two-thirds of the world's seeds. So these are chemical companies, pharmaceutical companies. So these are some of the big four, Bayer, Corteva, Syngenta, BASF. They own a lot of smaller seed companies. So people may not even know that they're buying seeds that are owned by large corporation chemical companies. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just... It's really worrying that we're losing even small seed companies.
So the big chemical companies are also controlling two-thirds of the seeds. How does that work for them, having the chemicals and the seeds both under their management?
Yeah, well, the worry is that, you know, big pharma companies owning these seeds is they also control, so they control the seeds, they're patented to them. You need to have them under license, but these seeds will spread. They also create the chemicals that can be doused over these plants. You shouldn't be able to own a seed. I mean, to me, seeds, it's the most natural thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, we need to, we're the custodians of these seeds. We need to be the champion of these seeds and keep them in production. Mm. You know, that they don't care about being nutritionally dense. They care about longevity, shelf life, stability, uniformity.
Mm-hmm. This is a slight tangent, but I just thought there's all these new varieties of apples coming out that the supermarkets seem to be trying to do more hybrids or something to try and get more variety into the apples. But I bought some apples at the supermarket, which I'm not going to do again, and I left one on the bench. For 24 hours, it didn't go brown. How on earth did they take the natural behaviour of an apple out of it?
Yeah, how do they do that?
We don't know. I don't know how. Why would that happen?
I don't think I want to know.
No.
If an apple doesn't go brown, well, yeah, that's
definitely yeah, that's weird. And
wrong.
It didn't have any taste. It didn't have any apple-y taste.
Yeah.
It was just it's a crunchy thing. So that's interesting. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's in the big company's interest, isn't it, to
Definitely.
have these patents and seeds that are guaranteed, because they as long as you put in the right fertilizer and the right herbicide and the right fungicide and exactly the right amount of water, they can guarantee that those seeds will germinate, they'll work in a commercial setting.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is too, we're losing the knowledge of what's in season.
Yep.
So if you can buy a tomato 365 days a year from a supermarket, but its season is only, you know, for maybe 5 months, 4 months. And even our chefs, I've noticed that our chefs, it's not taught to them seasonality. You can buy anything you want any time of the year. So to see a zucchini on a menu in the middle of winter, yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, and they would be very expensive to buy.
And be very expensive,
And that's important knowledge. If people are not all that literate about these things and they go to the supermarket and they're thinking, God, I can't afford the vegetables, it would be better if they understood that how to use the ones that are in season. And we don't all, because we've lost a lot of knowledge about cooking as well.
We have, If I can share some seeds with people and give you a little bit of knowledge, and just it's all trial and error. I mean, there's no, you know, we try and complicate a lot of things. In life, you know, people, I compost everything in the restaurant, but people say, oh, you can't compost, you know, lemons, or you can't compost
onions. Yeah, this is not true.
It's just nature composts.
You can compost anything, and that's why we're here, because there wouldn't be any soil at all.
Exactly. So we need to stop complicating things.
Yeah. Where did that one come from? Because I put oranges and onions in my worm farm, and the worms are fine.
They'll eat around. If you put a lemon rind in a worm farm, they'll just eat around it. People asking me all sorts of strange things, and I think, who told you that? why, you know, and I'm, you know, my carbon to nitrogen ratio, and you definitely need to have. But I mean, if it smells, you need more brown. If it's dry, you've got ants, you need more green. It's not rocket science. Give it a go. Our grandparents used to do it. We shouldn't fear this, and we shouldn't lose that ability, because the next generation then is going to not have that ability either. And it's really important, if, you know, if our kids see us growing something, and then, you know, we know the joy of, you know, kids being able to pull a bean off a plant or pick a strawberry. I mean, gosh, why wouldn't you want to grow strawberries at home? The amount of chemicals that are dumped on strawberries for the size of them, and we give small children, you know, strawberries from a supermarket. So easy to grow.
That's all we've got time for, Julie, I'm afraid. Good place to end, though. My name is Anne Stanley, and my guest was Julie Bennett. If you want to find more about heirloom seeds, you can go to Julie's Instagram page, which is, tell us about what that is, Julie.
Yeah, sure. So you can find me on Instagram, seeds are free, which is seeds _free_AU. And you can see what I'm sending out at the moment. So I will be sending out tomato seeds. I've just been a little bit slack at the moment. But I also have some lovely Virginian long white zucchinis, which have a great story too, which I will share with you all. And you can also come and visit me. I'm actually speaking.
Yeah, it's going to be at Doncaster at the Manningham Civic Centre, and it's going to be the 3rd of December. It's a Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. It's free. These details are on the Local Food Connect website, so you can go there to find them if you don't remember these. But Julie's going to discuss tips, tricks, and techniques for how to successfully save seed year after year. And you can take along any saved seeds that you have to swap with other people afterwards. And there's going to be envelopes there, so you can put your seeds in an envelope and label them so people know what they're getting. And also, I just also want to say, this is not related so much to Julie's work, but there is a Seeds for a Just Peace campaign, which is there's going to be an event on Tuesday, the 25th of November, 7 till 9 p.m. It's $20 and it's about $39 to do that. It's in Coburg and it's to support, to raise funds to support local efforts to consolidate seed preservation and production for the people of Gaza. There will be some Palestinian food available and it's organised by the Just Food Collective, which you can Google, Just Food Collective, in partnership with Global Gardens of Peace, Sustain and Gaza Urban and Peri-Urban Agriculture Platform. So until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.